just in case the dub wasn't rolling, it's a cassette dub of Paradigm Productions, Fight in the Fields, and Sound Roll 58, Camera Roll 122, interviewing Rita Medina Chavez in San Jose on 123.96.
Yes, Steve.
Rolling.
Okay, this is take one, Medina Chavez. Marker.
Señora Medina, let's start off with your earliest memories. You grew up in North Gila in Arizona. What was it like being a child there?
I think we were very, very happy as far as I can remember. Like, sister and I were very, very close, you know. We used to call ourselves Tito and Tita, meaning hermanito y hermanita, because everywhere, you know, we were real close. So, to me, I remember, like, very, very happy days. We were very...
And what was it like growing up in the country, in the farm?
We did a lot of chores. A lot of chores. We had to do help my dad among the farm. Even though as young as we were, we had to do a lot of chores. Caesar had a lot of chores. He took care of the horses, cows, make sure they had water, feed them.
So everybody had to pull their own weight.
Everybody had something to do. Even though we were real, real young, we still had to help out in the farm. Help my mom with the chickens and everything.
I'm sorry.
Wait, the Barney on.
The Barney on? Oh, that's fine.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, take two. Marker.
Now, you were the oldest child, so you were the first to go to school, so you figured out what it was like, and you got Cesar ready. Tell us about taking him for the first day to school.
Well, all that summer before school, we played, you know, school. I was a teacher, of course, and there were the students, and I got Caesar ready, and I told him, when you go to school, the teacher's going to ask you, what's your name, little boy? She's going to have Caesar Chavez. How old are you? I'm six, and, you know, all those questions. He was ready. We went to school, and I told the teacher, this is my brother, Caesar. He says, oh, hi, Caesar, and sit down, and got all the information records when he was born and all this. Then he said, we're ready. He says, okay. You're sitting with the first graders, and Rita sits in the... It was a little country school. It only had three rooms. We had eight grades in three rooms. So the first room where I was, it was first, second, and third. So the teacher says, okay, Caesar, let's sit here. And, you know, your sister has to go to her. He says, oh, no. He says, I'm sitting with my sister. The teacher says, no, I'm sorry, you can't. You know, you have to sit with the first graders. He goes, nope, I'm sitting with my sister. And he got hold of me. He says, I'm sitting with you. I said, no, you have to sit with the first graders. No, if I don't sit with you, I'm going home. And he took off the door, and I ran after him. I said, no, you got to stay here. You can't go home. So they debated for a while. Finally, the teacher says, okay. His two of the second graders says, Kyle and Jack, will you get a desk and put it by Rita? So Caesar sat by me. I can't remember. It was one or two days that he was there, maybe even three. Then finally, he agreed he had to go with the first graders. But he won that first battle right there and then. He was determined to go home. He wasn't going to, if he didn't sit by me, he wasn't going to go home.
Well, that sort of talks about what kind of person he was. What was he like as a young boy?
He was the same, very determined.
So
very
I need
determined.
A whole sentence, so you have to say Caesar was.
Caesar was very determined. Whatever he always had plans. He always had, like, a goal. He always had a goal, even when we were little, that he would tell us, you feed those two horses and I'll feed this cow, or you do this and I do that. He always had everybody assigned to do something, you know.
And I'm... That for a second. That just fell, okay?
Yeah. What fell?
Yeah. Let's bring it up.
What fell?
So, tell me, say the
law. Rita Medina Chavez, take three up.
Please do. Punch all those buttons. Okay.
This is take three, Marker.
When you were kids going to school and going to town occasionally, how did people treat you? Was there a lot of discrimination that you experienced?
That I can remember, yes.
Uh-huh. Tell me again. I remember a lot of discrimination.
Like, to me, in school, they punished me because I spoke Spanish all the time. We were all cousins. Mainly everybody in that school were cousins, one way or the other. A few friends that were not related. And we all spoke nothing but Spanish. And, you know, the teacher would say, you can't speak Spanish. And I spoke Spanish all the time. So I got punished for that. And the I don't know how to say, the white children or whatever, you know, they didn't know, understand English. We used to speak in front of them, and they go tell the teacher, Rita's speaking Spanish again. So they call me in the office, and you're getting punished again for speaking Spanish. But we all did anyway. Even though we got punished, we did. They, you know, a lot of things like, you know, you, they would say, you can't do this because you don't really understand what American people are, or meaning like you're Mexicans, in other words, you know. And so there were a lot of things that they couldn't, they didn't let us do because they thought we couldn't do it because we were Mexicans, in other words. That's what they used to call us. But then it came one time when my cousin Rudolph, he was the best basketball player. He was good. I mean, Laguna Dam School was the first in the whole Arizona, but because of him. And then we used to tell him, I thought you said Mexicans couldn't do anything. We used to get back at them. But boy, Rudolph, they would take him all over. We used to call him Yofo for nickname.
And now, when it comes to responding to that discrimination, I've heard that your father, let's talk about your parents, your father was a very strong person who really wouldn't tolerate injustice or when things were wrong. Tell me a little bit about your father.
Well, my dad was, how could I describe him? He's very respectful, and he only said one word, you know. He wasn't the type of person that would talk and get into arguments. One word, the same way with us. We knew when we meant business, one word. And, you know, he just didn't let anybody run over him. He would defend himself because he knew a lot more.
Did he think it was important for you children to learn those values?
Yes, he did. They did. They really wanted us to go to school. Like when Caesar graduated from the eighth grade, the grammar school, they wanted him to go to high school. He said, no, I'm not going to school because I'm not letting my mother work in the fields anymore. Because my dad and my mom and I, the three of us had to work. So I never went to school after we came back from Arizona. I never attended any school in California till I was 50. I went back to school to get my high school diploma. And he said, no, I am not letting my mother, you're staying home. He says, I'm working, but we want you to go to school. He says, no, I can learn later. He says, now I'm going to work and help the family because my mother's not going to the fields anymore. He used to see all the injustice in the fields and how hard it was for us to go work, come home and do the chores at home, and next day get up and go work on the fields because they were in school. So he said, no, no way. I am not going to high school or college or nothing. He says, I'm going to work. And you're staying home. But they were very against it, my mom and my dad. They wanted him to go, all of us, to go to school. They believed in education a lot.
Now, your mother was a very, very strong influence on you and Cesar. Yes?
Can you stop? Sure. Her voice is getting...
How about a little glass of water? Yeah, cut. Yeah. Let's get it.
It's not because of the...
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Speak.
Hello, ma'am.
Hello, ma'am.
Okay, this is take four. Marker.
Tell me a little bit about how your mother affected you and Cesar. She was a very strong influence, wasn't she?
Very strong. Mm-hmm. Well, she had all this advice that you should give us all the time, you know, how to be a better person, how not to get into violence. She didn't believe in violence. And she would always say, you know, if somebody wants to fight with you and you go ahead and fight back, that fighting will never end. So you have to be the one to stop it right then and there. Don't continue the fight. Like they say, you know, turn your other cheek around. She always used to tell us that. And she always used to tell us, you know, be good to everybody and God will be good to you. And this is, don't fight with nobody. Don't get into arguments. All these things. Because, well, of course, when you're little, you know, you're liable to get into fights with other kids in school or whatever. And she was very, very friendly with everybody. My mother made friends like, I don't know, she never knew anybody, but she'd get up there on the street or we were working and she had friends right away. She was real friendly. Everybody got to really like her because she was real friendly.
Was that just her personality or did
that? I think that was her personality. She was just born that way, very determined.
Let's go back to talking about your father a little more. He was a man of a lot of principles. Do you think Cesar really got interested in labor organizing because of your dad? Do you think that was an example?
Well, probably, and then also because that's what we did for a living, you know. And that's why we learned how awful it is on the fields and how they treat the farm workers and how we were treated. So he always used to say, there's got to be something, you know, somebody has to do something for us, poor workers on the fields. Says, there's got to be, something's got to be done. He always used to say that. That somebody has to do something. So he knew that somebody, but I guess, I don't know if then he knew he wanted to do something, but it turned out to be that he was the one that did something for the farm workers.
Now tell me a little bit about what it felt like. You'd grown up on the ranch. What it felt like when you had to become migrants and lose all that and travel and live.
It was awful. It was really bad. Because we had never worked for anybody else. We never lived out of our home. Here we came to California and we were lucky we got a tent. But most of the time we were living under a tree with just a canvas on top of us and sometimes in the car, you know, like you see a lot of nowadays. And so it was really, really, it was sad in a way for us after living in our own farm for all these years. And then we come to California and we were so, like they say, green, you know, verdes. We didn't know what to do. We'd go work, and if we weren't wise to go get a basket, we wouldn't work in all day because people would just move out of the way, and they would get baskets and go work, like picking peas and string beans. So there were days we didn't work because we didn't get a basket. So one day Caesar said, tomorrow I'm going to be there the first one in the morning, and I'm going to get two baskets, not only one. So he did. One day he left real early in the morning, like 4 in the morning. He was there when the baskets came. He got 2 baskets. So we were, you know, that day we made money because we had 2 baskets and we could work all day. But he was the one that decided, says, tomorrow I'm going and I'm standing there. When the truck comes in, because it was a big truck that would come in with baskets, and then people would just grab baskets and go work. Says, tomorrow I'm going to be there, the first one to get. I'm not only getting one, but I'm getting 2. And he did.
Okay, we have to change. Okay. The other thing about film and like video, these film things, you get each roll of film lasts for 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. Change, so we'll do one more. It's going good. Let me just do another one.
Changing to camera roll 123. Next up is Rita Medina Chavez interview take 5. This is for the cassette. We're changing to camera roll 123, take 5.
Questions?
Final call.
Speed.
And rolling.
This is take 5, marker.
Rita, let's go back for a minute, because when we talked about being little children, the sound wasn't working too well. Tell me about what you and Caesar used to call each other when you were kids and the kinds of games you would play.
We used to call each other Tito and Tita, meaning hermanita y hermanito, you know, little sister and little brother. And that's, we're always holding hands and, you know, going everywhere together. Everywhere we were together. We played, you know, games and just like a brother and sister. And I was the oldest one and always had, but he always came up with different ideas ahead of me. He wanted to get ahead of me like he always did, you know, but you know, I think we were close all the time. We were so close that we even got married the same day. He said, we'd get married the same day and we'll celebrate our anniversary together all the time. And we did for a lot of years celebrate our anniversary together until he started going with the union a lot. But he always used to call me on my anniversary, always used to call us on our anniversary. Because we were married the same day. When we were young, you know, we're like teenagers, 17, 18, I always used to tell him, when I get married, you're going to be my best man. He says, you're going to be my maid of honor. And that's the way it was. He was my best man, and I was his maid of honor. And he was in the Navy, and I used to write to him. When he went to the Navy, I wrote to him like 800 letters, one every day. I made a point of just putting it, if whatever, even just say, hi, how are you? We're fine. I put a letter in the mailbox every day, since the day he left till the day he came back.
And by that time, you were, the family was out here
in California, California, in Delano. We were living in Delano when we went to the Navy.
And life was a little better then, wasn't it?
A little better, but we still were farm workers. Yeah, but we were older and we knew more and we had more experience. You know, like, we would teach, in a way, we would teach the other generations that were coming in, our cousins that came in from Arizona, you know, we'd tell them what to do, what to look for and everything. Not like us, nobody told us anything. We were really, like, we were abused in a way from other farm workers because we didn't know anything. You didn't know any better. We never had worked for anybody else. So we were just, you know, we had to get wise on our own. He did. He was the one that got everything, you know, got us up there because he wasn't afraid of anything or anybody. So he'd just go out there and he did what he had to do.
You showed me a picture of you and Richard and Cesar, probably your teenagers or early young adults. And it looks like a very happy time, you know.
Yeah. And we used to go to dances together and, you know, parties and stuff. I couldn't go nowhere unless he took us. That was the rule of my mom and my dad. Although I was the oldest, he was the oldest male of the family, so he was like the boss, in other words. You know, you take care of your sister. So if he didn't take me to a dance or a party, I couldn't go because my mom wasn't the person that would let us go with friends or alone. No way. We had to go with our brothers. So we were always, I used to saying, oh, Caesar, I guess he had a date or something. He didn't want to bother with me. He said, I'll pay you. Take me to the dances. Oh, no, not today. I can't go today. It was, but we were always real close.
But when the kids were little, you were the oldest.
Yes.
Not the oldest man, but the oldest person. So mm-hmm. you had a lot of responsibility.
I had a lot of responsibility. I made sure that everything, because my mom had to help my dad in the farm. So I was sure I was supposed to have all the dinner ready, their clothes, make sure they get up to go to school in the morning, their hair was combed, everything. Like a second, they always call me my second mother. My baby brother, he just says, you're my second mother. So does Richard, my brother Richard, and my sister Vicky too. They always say, which I was their second mother because my mom was always out in the farms helping my dad. So I had responsibilities since I was very young, about 8 years old. I took over the responsibility.
Was that hard?
It was hard in a way. I enjoyed it because I loved my brothers and my sister a lot. But it was hard because I was, you know, 8 years old. You want to go out there and play. You don't want to be making tortillas and cooking and washing and, you know, cleaning, ironing and do all this, which I had to do because I was the oldest.
Let's stop for a minute. Are we doing this magazine?
Next up is Rita Chavez, take six.
Yes, Steve?
Hello, ma'am.
This is take six. Marker?
In the early 50s, there was a big change in Caesar's life and everybody's life here in San Jose when CSO started, when you met Fred Ross. And you were involved in that, too. Talk about what happened and how you saw Caesar change then.
Well, like, you know, he didn't really care for the way we'd been treated before, for white people, I should say. And when he met Ross, Fred Ross, he took him a long time before Caesar could meet him, because every time he'd come to the door, he says, tell him I'm not here. I don't want to talk to him. Oh, no, send him away. And finally, one day, he just couldn't get away from him, you know. He just met him right there and then. And they started talking, and finally he said, you know, oh, I think this man is pretty honest. I think we're going to work with him. He wants to do a lot of good for the community, and not only the Mexican-American people, but, you know, the whole community in general. So we started working with him, and first thing we did was a big voter registration drive. Big. I remember how many voters we registered that year. He had us working. Caesar was the head of the voter registration committee. Boy, 10, 12 hours, I mean, just going and going and going. We got a big voter registration. Then we had committee. I was in charge of the committee for citizenship and the legal papers. My husband was in charge of the membership committee, and I also did the school committee. make sure people went to school to learn English. And go 3 times a week, we went to school, you know, with them. And if they needed any help, like doing their immigration papers or mostly citizenship, we take them to get their fingerprints. I filled out their applications. And then he made me a notary public. I said, Cesar, you're going to get me in jail. I'll probably go to prison. No, you could do it. Come on, let's go. So here we go. I became a notary public. I just gave up my license about 3 years ago. I didn't want to renew them anymore.
So during that period, did you see Cesar changing?
A lot. Finally,
tell me how he changed.
Well, I don't know how to describe the way he changed. It was like he cared a lot. I knew he always did, but this time I saw him care more because he went on.
Can you start over again and say Cesar cared a lot? Cesar
cared a lot about people. But as soon as he got involved with the CSO, I guess that he learned more and we found out more about what was going on in the community, more needs. I think he got more and more interested in helping people and caring. He was very caring. Very caring. And that was, you know, the first citizenship class that we did. It was the school now, it's called Cesar Chavez School. So that was called the Mayfair School then. We had a big potluck. We had 70 senior citizens that became American citizens through the program of CSO. We had a big party that night. Everything potluck. You know, he was so excited. It came in the newspaper. And, you know, it was a lot of publicity because he had accomplished what he was looking for. As far as the making people become American citizens and getting their pensions. We worked a lot to get the pension for non-citizens in California because, you know, they didn't give pensions to the non-citizens in California. And so we worked and worked. And
when you saw what an impact Cesar had on farm labor and on the community, could you look back to when he was a child and could you see that he had this talent and ability?
I think so. I did. I've said it all the time since I remember all the things that, you know, like the first day he went to school, that he was determined to stay there, and a lot of the things. To me, I think so.
The other thing is, you know, that the process was victories. There were setbacks.
There were big defeats.
And you're a close family. How did Cesar seem when things went badly?
Well, he deemed, you know, disappointed. Said, but he wouldn't give up. He always say, "Well, we gotta go on, because I know we can win. We can, you know, do good wherever went wrong. We gotta do it good. We can't give up." He never gave up.
Let's stop for a minute.
Marker?
When you look back, especially at the early years, is there anything that really stands out, some vivid memory? I know taking him to school, but what other things really happened that seem important now when you look back?
Gee, I don't know. Everything was important. I can't remember what I really, you know, when I look back.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot, and then at this, like right now, I can't remember. Afterwards, I'll remember everything.
Well, let's talk about what people who never knew him, certainly who never grew up with Cesar or knew him like you did, what you want them to know about him, what's important for them to understand about your brother.
Well, I think that he...
Could you start off saying, my brother?
My brother was a very caring person, you know, in one way. Very humble. But, you know, and very determined, and he always had a goal, whatever he wanted to accomplish. He never stopped until he accomplished it. And, you know, that's where he got as far as he went. I know there was a lot of unfinished things that he left, and maybe probably the ones that are taking over can finish doing his dreams. But he had a lot of...
His goals can be achieved? Will people carry that on?
I think so. I think they will. They're trying. We're all trying to do and make his dreams come true. But there was a lot of things that he had planned. Because he always talked to me about his plans and what the union was going to do and all this. There was a lot of things that were not done when he left. But I think they're going to be done. I'm pretty sure.
Well, But it'll be different.
It'll be different. It's even different for me that I know, and I even know all those people that are working, you know, for him, but it's still different. There's something missing, and it's him.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop there. I think that's okay. We may be done. That was the stuff I wanted to talk about, unless there are some other things that you think are real important that we should...